Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Donna Crowe. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. Glad you're here. We are having another medicinal mushrooms broadcast today, and glad you stopped by to listen in. We've got just a few minutes here if you want to call some other people and have them listen. The number for them to call is 347-637-1981. Okay, I'm excited about this show. Excited, inspired, fueled. Prevention is a big deal, and that's what we're talking about today is prevention, preventive medicine rather than premature death and all the desperation and trauma that people experience before they prematurely die. So this is what we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to read a disclaimer here, and then we're going to get started. This is an information call only and is not intended to and should not replace the medical advice of your personal physician. None of the statements or studies referenced in this presentation relate specifically to GanoXcel products, so individual results may vary. We encourage you to use common sense and prudence in evaluating your expectations while consuming GanoXcel products. Statements made during this call have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration, and GanoXcel products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. So basically what we're calling for here is common sense. We're going to be talking about GanoXcel, Ganoderma specifically today in relation to preventive medicine. And my opinion, it's, you know, one of the very best products that you can use to help yourself prevent truckloads of physical challenges. But that's me speaking, not the company themselves. I'm a holistic health practitioner, and in my experience, I've got 35 years of experience of working with people, and this is one of the best and easiest products to use. So we're going to talk about preventive medicine, and why is it important? So I'm going to read a Dr. Whitaker quote here real quick. I love this. He says that in more than 30 years of practicing medicine, I've learned that when it comes to your health, you can change the future. I love that. You can change the future. He goes on to say, you can overcome years of natural wear and tear on your body. Your health is not set in stone by your family's health history. In fact, I've seen living proof in my patients that it's never too late to enjoy the good, robust health that you've been entitled to all along. I disagree with him a little bit. I think it's a really optimistic statement to say it's never too late to enjoy the good, robust health that you've been entitled to all along. If you haven't gone too far, this is true. I mean, if you have let diabetes go to the point where they've cut off your limbs and you're now blind, then it is too late for you to turn that clock back around. But for the average person who's noticing some aches and pains or even has some serious, you know, you've even been diagnosed with diabetes, you can still turn it around. A huge amount of illness can be reversed with the same lifestyle and diet and health choices that would be considered preventive. You can use those same choices to turn the Titanic around so that it doesn't sink, all right? So I'm going to talk about diabetes just a little bit here. We've talked about this before, but I want to talk about it again, and there's a reason. The reason diabetes is such a big deal is that it's our number one cause of blindness, of amputation and kidney failure. Now listen to this. This is shocking to me. Every 6 minutes in the U.S., a diabetic amputation is performed. I mean, that is just astonishing to me, especially when I know that diabetes is not a disease. It's a condition, and it's a condition that you can turn around in less than a month. But people obviously don't know this, or they wouldn't be getting their limbs cut off. So we have a strong need in the U.S. to begin a really evangelistic approach to prevention. We really need to get the word out that you don't have to have these kinds of tragic circumstances and conditions in your body. One out of five people who go to the hospital has diabetes, and they're hospitalized for that diabetes at a cost of more than $83 billion a year. Diabetes dramatically increases the risk of hypertension and heart failure and heart attack and stroke and just general death from heart diseases. And 9 times out of 10, diabetes is fueled by obesity. So a major preventive factor in health is going to be getting your weight down into a healthy range. I like Dr. Whitaker. He calls it diabesity because obesity really pushes the diabetic condition. It really fuels it. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter says that we are approaching a caregiving crisis in America. Some statistics I'd like to share with you are that two-thirds, this is enormous, listen to this, really pay attention to this, two-thirds of all the people who have ever reached the age of 65 in the entire life of the planet, two-thirds of all the people who have ever reached the age of 65 are alive today. All right, now think about this. I know you've heard the term age-related disease. We've got this concept that you get old, you get sick. You know, I've had people say, well, if you don't get sick, how do you die? And it's ridiculous, you know, when it's, you know, it's just the way our thinking is. We think sickness is like normal. It's not. You know, we've talked about it here before. America ranks number one in wealth, but we're like way down the line in health. Why? Because there's not enough pharmaceuticals available for us? That's not true, you know. Because there's not any good food around? No, it's because lifestyle. We just are like lost in space when it comes to connecting disease with diet. It makes a difference. Exercise makes a difference. You know, whether you're living a life that's fulfilling to you or not, it makes a difference. So anyway, two-thirds of all the people who have ever reached the age of 65 are alive today. The fastest growing segment of the population in our country is over 55. And every 7.7 seconds, someone in this country turns 50. One in every six Americans, or 44 million people, are 60 years or older. 34 million Americans, or one in eight, are age 65 or older, and three out of five are women. Listen to this. Over the next 35 years, the population age 65 and over will more than double, but the number of people over 85 will triple. So you can see why Rosalynn Carter is saying we're looking at a caregiving crisis. If these people are not taking care of themselves now, ahead of time, somebody else is going to have to take care of them afterwards. When they get into ages where the body's breaking down because it just can't function under the lifestyle that they have been living in. So, you know, break that down into, instead of impersonal people, your family. If you're not taking care of you now, who is going to take care of you later? Are you going to put that burden on your children, or are you going to place yourself in the hands of strangers who find you to be incredibly inconvenient because you're old and sick, you know? Are you going to have the money for somebody else to take care of you? I mean, I don't want to be really negative here, but this is like reality. This is reality. If you don't take care of you now, somebody else is going to take care of you later. Who do you want to be a burden on? You know, pick them now, you know. Or who do you want taking care of you when you're vulnerable, you know? Man, I'm telling you, prevention is so much more pleasant than trying to turn this thing around later. It's just so much pleasant, and it's so much less expensive. we tend to live in denial and think that there's a gray world, a safe gray world of denial, but the truth is life is very black and white, and you are either being a preventive health person or you're just waiting for the symptoms to come. You know, you can't ignore this and not have to deal with it at some point. So I'm calling people to wake up. Wake up and make choices now so that you can live a pleasant life until the day that you die. And when it's your time, you just smile at your loved people that are around you and you go home. And I'm not talking about a bizarre fear-based lifestyle where, oh, my God, I can't eat that or look at that or I can't have any fun or enjoy yourself. I mean, I live a preventive lifestyle and I love it. I love the food that I eat. I eat flavorful food, cooked food. I eat meat. I eat fruits. I eat vegetables. I even have desserts now and then, you know. And I enjoy it, you know. So many Americans are suffering for what people have called perverted palate. You know, you're eating stuff that if I ate it, I would, like, think, oh, God, this is awful. It's lifeless. It tastes dead. It feels dead. It's overly salted and yucky. But your palate becomes accustomed to that, and you don't even like real food anymore. That has to change. If you want to live a preventive lifestyle, that has to change. You're going to have to wake up to that and go, if I give myself time, I will like real food, you know? So anyway, you need to be honest with yourself. Am I a food addict? You know, we look at people who do heroin, who are alcoholics, and we think, God, you know, why do they do that? Why do they do that to themselves? Why do they do that to their families? But I would say a major portion of the American population are food addicts. And ask yourself, am I a food addict? Am I a sugar addict? You know, am I eating stuff that absolutely the body was not designed to run on, expecting it to stay healthy? Am I in denial? Ask yourself that. It's a big deal. And I would encourage you to at least be as smart as a football player and consider living offensively instead of defensively. You know, instead of waiting for somebody to come and knock you down, go knock them down, you know. Instead of waiting for symptoms to come and get you, think preventively, think offensively, and take steps to ensure that the symptoms never come. Are there any guarantees? Can I 100% guarantee you that if you will make some diet and lifestyle changes that you will not have any illness? No. But I can say that most people who make the right choices will live longer and feel better and avoid truckloads of illness and save money, save heartache. You know, I've been a caregiver a number of times with family members, and I'm just saying, you don't want to go there. You don't want to go there. It's hard, hard stuff. All right, let me just share a little bit more, and then we're going to have Bob Klein share what's on his heart today. I'm going to read another quote that I've read to you before here, because I really want you to hear it. I want you to hear it so well that you can almost quote it to other people. This is Dr. Beverly Winnikoff. Remember, this was in a government publication called U.S. Dietary Goals. And this is a medical doctor speaking, and she says, there is a widespread and unfounded confidence in the ability of medical science to cure or mitigate the effects of diabetes, heart disease, these kind of things, once they occur. Appropriate public education must emphasize the unfortunate but clear limitations of current medical practice in curing the common killer diseases. Once hypertension, diabetes, arteriosclerosis, or heart disease are manifest, there is, in reality, very little that medical science can do to return a patient to normal physiological function. Awareness of this limitation increases, the importance of prevention will become all the more obvious. Well, I think this awareness has come. I think a lot of people are seeing and knowing. They're seeing in their family, they're seeing in their own lives, they're seeing in friends that they're, you know, being diagnosed with things, and the doctors are giving them medication after medication, and it's not curing them. They're trying to treat symptoms. It doesn't fix anything. And often, most of the time, they get worse. So we really have to wake up and become preventive. Here's a few more quotes. Hillary Clinton, she says, we need to focus on prevention. We need to focus on wellness, not sickness. The New England Journal of Medicine says, study after study shows that primary and preventive care greatly reduces future health care costs as well as increasing patients' health. Mike Huckabee says, a focus on prevention would save countless lives, pain and suffering by the victims of chronic conditions, and billions of dollars. So this is a reality that's even moving through politics, you know, because, again, you know, we are in a healthcare crisis in the United States because we're food addicts, because we're not preventive-minded. We need to snap out of it. We need to wake up, start living offensively, start living preventively. And I'm telling you, it's a lovely lifestyle. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to feel good as you age. It's wonderful to feel youthful in your body. You know, exercise. You're going to have to exercise, you know. It just, that's how the body was designed. You need to get up and move. You don't have to go to the gym and spend a lot of money. Get up and walk. Get some walking sticks. Get a walking stick in each hand and walk. That works your upper body while you're walking. That's free. Get a couple pieces of bamboo, you know. They're cheap. Walk with them. It doesn't have to cost you a lot. It can be pleasant. Play badminton. Get a hula hoop. Do something. Do something that you enjoy that makes you move your body. You got to do it. It's absolutely imperative. Along with exercise, you're going to have to do dietary things. You know, start eating live foods filled with life and vitality, that filled with nutrients, you know, and having a frequency to them that gives life to your body. Food has light in it. Science has shown that food actually has light in it, and that that light is used by your body to increase your health. I'm telling you, Fritos don't have light in them. There just is none. They have very little nutritive value. Excuse me, Fritos. I should probably not say their actual name, but you know, that kind of manufactured food is not filled with life. It might be able to keep you from dying of starvation, but it's not going to promote health in your body. So diet and lifestyle make a big difference, but I also know that nowadays supplements are essential. You got to have supplements. Our food is denatured enough that even if you're eating organic, our soils are so depleted. You know, we have very little magnesium in the soil, no iodine in the soil. And so unless you're supplementing things, these things, you're not going to have them in it. And you need to find out what those things are that we don't have in the soil, so it's not in our food. And it makes a difference. And supplements like Ganoderma by GanoXL, you know, these are supplements that literally turn the clock back. You know, Dr. Whitaker is, you know, again, his optimistic statement that I shared in the beginning, that it's never too late to enjoy the good and robust health that you've been entitled to. Basically what he's saying is he's seen people looking pretty bad, and he's got them on the right diet, right lifestyle, you know, just common sense stuff. It's not anything tricky here. You know the difference between something that God made and something that's in a box. It's not difficult, you know. So you get on some natural, real food, move your body a little bit, but also get on supplements, and you can turn a truckload of stuff around. And Bob will talk about that again here today. You know, he's seen remarkable stuff, remarkable improvement in his own body. And I have too. I mean, I just recently was checking my skin tone. As you get older, your skin gets, like, not right. It gets too soft. And I've noticed my skin tone has greatly firmed up in the last, say, month. And I believe that's the Gano. I've been on it, I think, about 6 months now. But you reverse aging, and you can restore your body. That's the good news. You can see really bad stuff turned and go in the right direction. So I've been sort of hogging it here, and I'm going to get Bob on and let him say his piece. And I think I'm recognizing your phone number, Bob. So let me open up this mic, and hopefully it's you.
Thank you, Donna.
Is that you?
Can you hear
there.
Me okay?
Yay. Yes, I can. So let me just introduce you real quick. Bob Klein, what can I say? Bob is, I would say Bob is evangelistic about preventive medicine. And that's, you know, his heart here today is to really talk on this subject. He's passionate about prevention, and he has been on GanoXL for over a year and seen enormous changes in his body. Bob is, he's just got a heart for helping people, and he's a very intelligent man. This guy has multiple degrees, and he knows a lot about a lot of stuff, and he's just a good guy, and he's here to be honest with you and to share his heart. So, hi, Bob.
Thank you so much, Donna. It's always a pleasure. And, you know, I know you just had a birthday, and I'm not going to share what that was, but you sound
so... The big 6-0.
60, and yet your voice is so full of life and energy and enthusiasm and passion for helping others. And, you know, one of the things that... thank you so much for the kind introduction. It's a pleasure for me to be here. We had something happen this past weekend. We had a death in our family, and it was an unexpected death. So it was premature. And it really got our attention in our family because it was a young boy who was 13. And he died of cancer or complications due to the cancer or the chemo. The strokes that occurred after the chemo, we're not sure what the actual cause of death was, but it clearly was premature. And in our opinion, it shouldn't have happened because the family had the opportunity to know about Ganoderma, and there were choices that were made, and the boy is in heaven. He's not with us. And it was a sad time, but it really stimulated my thinking because his grandparents have diabetes, almost complete blindness, inability to walk. You know, the results of what Donna's just been talking about. And I asked Donna if we could do this show on prevention because, when I came home from the weekend, I began to look myself and do some research, and a great deal of the health crisis that we have in the United States can be prevented. And it has to, you know, I've been saying, and I've said it on this show before, how important it is for us to take personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. And in the past,
absolutely,
that has been, my remark has been really directed at the relationship between a person and their medical care system, meaning that you just can't take verbatim what a doctor tells you or a nurse tells you, that you have to do your own research. You have to understand what is happening so you can make the best decisions and the best choices for yourself. So that has been my position, and it still is. However, when I begin to look at the statistics, you almost have to say it's not their fault. It's not the medical community's fault. In fact, one of the studies I looked at today is a major study done to determine whether primary care physicians should be advising more strongly, or if that's the right word, advising more strongly their patients with regard to the preventable part of these diseases. To me, this is, I don't think they need a study to come to this conclusion. However, I was talking with my sister this week because she has diabetes, and it was after this weekend, and I was passionate in saying, you know, I want the best for you, I love you, and all I can do is let you know about Ganoderma, and you make the choices yourself. And she said, it's not the doctor's responsibility to educate you. Now, she's part of a university system where they have a medical school at USC. She's not in the medical school. She's in the engineering school. But she's a very well-educated lady. And she said, it's not the doctor's responsibility to educate you. And I was stunned by that, but I believe that is, in fact, the way doctors are taught, is that it is not their responsibility to educate you. Then whose responsibility is it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And thank God for people like Donna Crowe. I'll say that again. Thank God for people like Donna Crowe that will speak out and will put information on the Internet and do this radio show and many other things that she does, advising people so that they can become educated, because there isn't a system of a proper health education in this country. And as she said, the statistics prove it. So now I've done some research, and mine was similar to yours, Donna, in terms of, you know, the fact that premature death is becoming more common, and the reasons for it are becoming more common now. But the choice that a person makes not to take personal responsibility is an expensive choice. It is going to cost them for their health care over the course of their life, the poor choices that they make, and it's going to cost their families. Because, you know, when you have someone, and we have many, many people in the Gyno Excel organization that we know that are caregivers for somebody in their family, because that person, it's either diabetes, heart disease, obesity, it can be a number of things, but the point is that person can't take care of themselves anymore. And there are many, many contributing factors. It's not a simple equation, but in general, prevention is a lot less expensive and a lot less painful. It's not painless, but it's less.
Yes.
It's not as painful as the absence of prevention. Well, the concept of a normal lifespan is an interesting concept, because most people don't really stop to think about what it is. Well, currently in the United States, it's 77.6 years is considered the normal life expectancy. That's if you don't do something to shorten it.
Yeah.
But anything short of that is called premature. In the past, the age 65, that's the age of retirement, that's a sort of a benchmark age that is used. And when they talk about mortality or they talk about premature death, they talk about premature to age 65 in terms of years lost prematurely. So a 13-year-old would lose the difference between 13 and 65.
Yes.
And it's really sad when you think about the contribution that these individuals could have made had they survived to age 65 or age 77. The value of their humanity is cut short. Their capacity has been cut in half or more. And the thing that got me passionate is that there are some really simple choices that people can make and should make, and that can extend their lives. And I personally don't know why anyone wouldn't want to extend their life. But, you know, apparently people are either not educated or make choices even though they are educated. There's another concept, and Donna alluded to this, and that is living a healthy life until you die. In other words, not having a period of disease. And a normal lifespan is a normal lifespan. It's not a life of decreasing livability or health. It's not. That's not it. It's living a healthy life until you die. In other words, it's staying young until the end of your life. And, you know, as she said, statistically, with the number of people that are over 65 that are still alive, if you reach 65, you have, in essence, become an elite group. So now I want to talk a little bit about what causes death and what causes death prematurely. The question of what causes death is, you know, on a death certificate, they always write the cause of death. Right? It might be pneumonia, it might be cancer, whatever. Well, the actual cause of death is not clear. And there was a new study by a gentleman from Duke University, and it was highlighted in a Newsweek article that said, no, the leading cause of death in the United States is us, is us, because of the choices that we make cause premature death. So statistically, of the 2.4 million deaths in the United States this was in 2007, about half of those could have been prevented by other choices,
wow,
according to the study. So that's over a million people that died because of choices that they made. So in other words, they didn't just go by, well, this person died of high blood pressure, or this person died of a stroke, or this person died of cancer. But what led to the high blood pressure, what led to the stroke? And it was a very interesting study because it points out what are the real causes. So the increased cost of our medical system aren't just because of the desire for profits, although that's a huge part of it. It's because the choices that we individually make result in an increased amount of care that we have to have. And as some of the studies are showing now, the actual, for example, the cost to put in a stent in a person's heart, a stent is a little tube to keep a blood vessel open to your heart. The cost to put in a stent, the average cost was $48,000. The same study also showed that the stent, the operation to put a stent in, did not extend, on the average, anybody's life. So it we have a lot, and I think there's probably some things in associated with diabetes, some of the removal of some people's limbs that don't extend their lives, but they're seen as necessary by the medical community. So we get back to what are the choices. For example, the causes of death, the leading causes of death, by choice, the two leading causes are smoking, which may sound obvious. In other words, there are a lot of people that die from cancer and heart disease and high blood pressure and strokes that are smokers. And it's estimated that 55% of the smokers will die from smoking. 55% will die from smoking. Now, the actual cause on their death certificate will say something else. But 55% will die from smoking. So if you know a couple of smokers, there's a good chance that one of the two that you know is going to die from that habit. Now, it doesn't matter why a person smokes. It doesn't matter when they started. It just matters that they smoke. And that habit causes a downward spiral in all of the body functions. The second biggest choice factor that they say is controllable is obesity. And a lot of times smoking and obesity go together. Now, if you're obese and you smoke, your chances of living a long life are dramatically reduced. In obesity, you know, there's a current thinking that when people smoke, they eat less, and they do, which means they get less nutrition. But smoking and obesity are the two largest causes of death that could be prevented. And we can talk about the ways to prevent them, but, you know, I'm here to talk about Ganoderma, but I want to talk about one other factor, and it's called the point of no return. And I hope this wakes up some people, because people think, well, when I start feeling bad from smoking, or if I get too heavy, I'll take care of it. I'll lose weight. I'll stop smoking. And there's a point of no return. Now, it's different for every person, but the doctors, you know, when they are treating you, you know, if you lose a certain amount of your lung capacity, you can live. You know, if you had to have one lung removed for some reason, you could get by. But there's a point in your reduced lung capacity where you can't reverse it anymore. If you have to have a lung removed, you will never have more than 50% of your lung capacity. And if part of your remaining lung is dying off, you have less than that. So I know what Dr. Whitaker says. I believe that's a wonderful visionary statement to make, that you can always return to robust health. But there's a point of no return, which when the diabetes reaches a certain state, your kidneys reach a certain state, and even within our company, they talk about whether there's enough time left for the Ganoderma to actually reverse some conditions that might be present in a person's body. So my question to you is, how close are you to that point of no return? Now, how much closer do you want to get to it? Because there is one for every person. And whether it's obesity or smoking, those two, those changes ought to be made immediately. Now, when they look at the other factors that go into obesity and smoking, one of the things that they talk about smoking is a lack of stress management. So people smoke as a means of relieving stress. And with regard to obesity, a lot of people overeat because of stress. So one of the things I wanted to share today is what I consider a 5 or 6 or 7 step program where a person can completely change things around like Donna said. And the changes don't have to be significant for you to feel dramatically better. So in other words, if you lose, if you're dramatically overweight and you only lose 10% of your body weight, if you've got an extra 200 pounds and you lose 20 pounds, you will feel better. And that's statistically, that's just not me saying it. But the point is, you got a choice. It's real clear. Prevention or premature death. That is not even a question anymore as to whether that's true or not. It's statistically, it's proven now. The only question is, how much will you suffer before you die? It's not if you're going to die prematurely. It's how much are you going to suffer before that. So I hope, as Donna said, I hope this is a wake-up call. Now, the role of Ganoderma is twofold. It can reverse some of those situations. It is an amazing plant, and the extract and what Gano Excel has is the purest, most concentrated form available today, and that's we can be proud of that claim. We supply over 83% of the world's organically grown Ganoderma. It's a huge company. And yet only a tiny portion of the world has ever heard of us at this point. So I was saying to my sister, if someone wanted to develop a drug, like a prescription drug, that was an anti-tumor, anti-cancer, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-candida, anti-inflammatory, I'll just stop there. If they just wanted to develop a drug like that, it would be prohibitively expensive. And yet this plant is relatively inexpensive.
And the truth is they wouldn't be able to. You just can't, you know?
No, you can't.
If they could, they would have.
Yes, they would have. That's correct. Now, the Ganoderma, if you know of people or if you have some existing conditions, you should really seriously research Ganoderma. And it's really easy to do on the Internet. It's not hard. You can go to Google Scholar. You can go to PubMed.gov. You can go to WebMD. You can go to GanoResearch.com. There are many ways to research Ganoderma. It's going to be so obvious when you do it, you're going to go, why haven't I heard of this before? Why didn't my doctor tell me about it? He must have known. This has been in use for thousands of years. Why didn't I hear about this in school? Why didn't I hear it in my science class in college? I don't know. I didn't. I didn't hear about it until a friend told me about it. Now, I want to talk specifically about obesity because one of the studies I just read really got my attention. When the United States is higher, obesity is a worldwide problem. Obesity is simply consuming more calories than you're burning to the extent that fat begins to accumulate on your body. And there's different measures of obesity with a body mass index is the way they measure it. And even 10 pounds overweight has an impact on your lifespan, even 10 pounds overweight. So we're not talking somebody that's, you know, 50 pounds overweight or 100 pounds overweight. Even people that are 10 pounds overweight. And to be defined as obese or overweight, if you look at the body mass index, it really isn't that far above the normal weight. It doesn't take much for it to have an effect on your health. Well, one of the things in the United States that was cited in a study was that fructose, products containing fructose, mostly sweetened drinks with fructose, high fructose corn syrup, have done the most damage in creating obesity because they change, get this, they change the structure of the liver. The fructose over a continued time changes the structure of the liver and its ability to function. So people that drink a lot of sodas or sweetened juices are really at risk for obesity because it not only are you getting calories, extra calories, but you're getting, it's changing your liver's ability to regulate, you know, what the liver does. And I was shocked when I read that. That's a known health risk, and yet it's in all these soft drinks.
Something that people don't understand is, you know, when you go to the hospital and they hook you up to an IV, if you're needing glucose, they give you glucose. And they found, accidentally, that when they put fructose in there, people die instantly. Because it's a poison, you know, and it shuts down the liver, like, instantly.
I know Mexico is considered a less developed country than the United States, but they don't allow high fructose corn syrup in the beverages here. In other words, the Coca-Cola here has sugar in it, plain old sugar, just like it used to in the United States.
Good for them.
And the only reason that the United States puts fructose corn syrup in, which, by the way, corn does not have syrup, it's a manufactured chemical that they're using. And what it does is it lowers the cost. It's a profit motive. It has nothing to do with any health benefits. It's an inexpensive sweetener, period. And unfortunately, it's very damaging. So now I want to talk about, you know, so again, Ganoderma does a couple of things. The first is everybody should have it as a preventive. It does too many things that you could consider preventive. It makes the inside of the blood vessels more flexible so that they're able to expand and contract more readily, and that allows your blood to circulate more. It increases the amount of oxygen in your blood. All of these would be preventive. More oxygen to the cells, then there's better metabolism in each cell, and so forth. It's a natural antidepressant. It makes people feel better. It's an anti-inflammatory. So if whether you have an inflammation from an injury or an allergy, it is a natural anti-inflammatory. So it's going to make people feel better, so they will feel more like exercising. It gives you energy. So there's a lot of things that Ganoderma does that are not fixing something that's broken, so to speak. Doing the purification that it does, the detoxification, put your body in a position where it's much, much, what do you want to say, better prepared, your immune system better prepared for anything that comes along, cancer or anything. So it should be looked at as a preventive. When it's looked at, you know, because in our country, unfortunately, we have a way of looking at health in a very unusual way. You go to seek health counseling when you're already sick. So you go to the doctor when you're sick, You go to the clinic when you're sick. You don't go to learn about how to stay healthy. And in other countries, now I know there's some limited programs that hospital systems have on education and so forth, but generally speaking, you don't go because you're well. You know, 80% of all people that die, 80% of all people that die in the United States, this is from a study, die in hospitals. That's where people go to die.
Yes, and
that's
death rates
normal.
Go down. Death rates go down when hospitals close or doctors go on strike.
And the point is, you don't want to go to a hospital because you're sick. You don't want to go because, you know, how could you avoid that? Because that's where 80% of the people die. They don't die on the highway. They die in the hospital. So, you know, how can we shift this around? Well, Ganoderma can act to stop a lot of the processes that are deterioration that started in your body. But there is a point of no return, and I just want to stress that. If a person waits too long, I don't care what it is that you do, it has a limited effect. You can't completely reverse everything. You can sure turn a lot around, like Donna says, but the sooner you start, the better you're going to be. So I'm here as a strong proponent of Ganoderma Lucidum and of Gano Excel's brand of Ganoderma Lucidum. I definitely believe in because of what it's done for me and what I've seen, as Donna said, the miracles for other people. But it won't do one thing for you if it sits on your shelf. It will not do one thing for you if you know about it and you don't have a regular supply of it and you're not drinking the coffee or you're not using the soap or it's not going to help you. And like Donna just said, she's just noticed something with her skin that's happened over months. Months. It's actually reversed the aging of Donna Crowe's skin. What an interesting concept. So there's two ways to look at this. One is, I want my children to have it. And that was a decision I made this weekend, is my children will be taking the capsules of Ganoderma because I don't want them at risk for what happened to this 13-year-old boy. I don't want them at risk. I want their immune systems to be absolutely at the top of their game so that if they're exposed to carcinogens or exposed to pollution or whatever, that they're in the best shape they possibly can be in to live a normal life, a normal lifespan, not a premature death. Then for people that are along in life, I want them to have the opportunity to restore back to what they could have been, you know, 5, 10, 15 years younger if they begin to take care of themselves. And Ganoderma can do that. Now, there's some other things we all should be doing. And I made some notes. I'm going to put those on the website, and they'll be available on the Gano Eagle website. There's a page for Blog Talk Radio, and you can look at the notes. And actually, there's links in there. You can actually go and look at some of the studies. But the most significant thing a person can do as far as making choices is with their nutrition. That's the most significant thing they can do because it's not just the number of calories, but it's the character of calories that a person eats that determines to a great extent what's going to happen with them. So,
well, I think it was also Jack LaLanne said, you know, get up and move, because he has seen in working with people that people who exercise, they can fudge with their diet a little bit more than people who don't. It really helps your body to get up and move and be in good shape. Diet is extremely essential, and the two together, they're just absolutely foundational for prevention.
Well, Step one is you've got to take responsibility. I that almost goes without saying. Step two is you've got to become aware of what you're doing every day. You've got to become aware of what you're eating, what you're drinking, what's the sources of that, and what's in the stuff that you're eating. And before you can even make changes, you've got to sort of wake up and take stock of where you are. And we could spend a whole hour just talking about what is the right kind of nutrition. But in general, if a person eats more fresh vegetables and fresh fruits than they're eating now, that's an improvement. Because most people don't get enough fresh fruits and fresh vegetables. And you need to consume them raw as much as possible, because cooking them destroys a lot of the enzymes and changes the form of the nutrients, makes them maybe less absorbable and so forth. So you want to have fresh, raw fruits and vegetables be part of every meal, which means a salad. And if you can just simply add in a salad, it will make a huge difference. The second aspect of these choices, because we could spend a lot of time on nutrition, but I don't want to do that. The second is what she said about getting up and moving around is exercise. It doesn't take a lot of exercise. It just takes regular exercise. A 20-minute walk a day is a huge change for somebody who hasn't been doing anything. A 20-minute walk a day. Now, if you can go 3 days a week and maybe walk longer than that, that might be a little bit more beneficial. But moving is important. The causes of death, as with that study that said the choices that we make, a sedentary lifestyle, which is sitting in front of a computer, sitting at a desk at work, sitting in front of a television, those types of lifestyles are the ones that are at risk the most. So getting up and moving is important. Also, we have two circulatory systems in our body. We have, of course, the blood, which is pumped around by the heart. But we have another circulatory system for the lymph, which is not the blood. And we have a whole lymphatic system. And the lymph nodes and the lymph is moved around your body by you moving. So if you don't move very much, you don't move the lymph around. Well, what is the lymph? Well, the lymph is where the white blood cells come from, if I remember right. It's where it's part of your immune system. So if you're not moving, you're not getting the important parts of your immune system around to the rest of your body. And it just begins to compound. So obesity being eating the wrong kinds of food. And by the way, the studies show that the people that are obese, the calories that they consume, you might call them the extra calories that they consumed, because they consume more than they needed. Those calories were in the form of carbohydrates as sugars, not in the form of fats. They don't eat more fat. They eat more sugars, and that's why they're obese. It's real interesting, because you would assume, no, they're just eating a fatty diet. No, they're not. They're eating a diet high in sugars. So without spending any more time on nutrition, now we talk about exercise. So, you know, and you can go in on the internet and put in on Google Scholar, you can put in gonoderma and energy. You can put in gonoderma and obesity. You can put in gonoderma and weight loss. You can put in gonoderma, and you can see the studies that have been done. Hundreds and hundreds of studies and articles have been written on what gonoderma can do. Most people lose weight when they use gonoderma products. Most people lose weight because the gonoderma gives them more energy, increases oxygen, helps them be more alert, helps them feel better. If they got joint pain, it reduces the joint pain because of the anti-inflammatory part. So most, and it curbs people's cravings for sweets, for alcohol, for tobacco. So it is ideal for people that are struggling with obesity.
Yeah, can I interrupt just a second here? I think that one of the most difficult things for people is getting that desire to move towards prevention. And that's one of the things I love about Gano XL's Ganoderma, is because it really does start to refine your taste. It actually starts to give you a desire for healthier foods, which I find fascinating. And I've heard a number of stories of people who even were alcoholics and in a short while on Ganoderma, they were like, it wasn't appealing to them anymore, and they were wanting healthier and healthier foods, and it literally improved all aspects of their life because they just began to desire more health. And that's the fascinating thing about poor diet, is it actually works against your own will. It causes you to feel flat inside. And when you put something in your body like NanoXcel, it is so powerfully healing. It literally will change your motivations and your willpower. So I love it for that.
One of the other things about obesity, that is a cause of obesity, and I didn't know this, is insufficient sleep.
Yes.
Especially in adolescence. And to me, it's like, well, that doesn't make sense. If you're sleeping more, you would because you burn less calories while you're asleep, you burn more while you're awake. But no, there's the studies show that insufficient sleep is a cause of obesity. So especially among kids. Well, one of the things that the Ganoderma does is, of course, it helps people sleep, and it gives them more energy during the time that they're awake. So I know we've covered a lot of things, and I seem to be bouncing around, but the bottom line is that there are steps that any person can take and should take that can really lengthen their life. And one of them, the first step, taking personal responsibility definitely needs to be number one. And number two needs to be using the Ganoderma. Because no matter whether you're doing it for prevention, no matter whether you're in your teens or whether you're in your 60s, it should be used for prevention. Then adjust your nutrition, because the Ganoderma is going to work or begin to work immediately. It begins to make corrections immediately. Then you can start adjusting your habits of nutrition, eating more fresh fruits and vegetables, eating more raw vegetables, eating more water fruits and water vegetables so you get more liquid, and cutting out the things that clearly have bad consequences. High salt. The minerals that we get if we eat fish or if we use sea salt are completely different than the normal table salt, which is, it isn't salt that's bad, it's sodium in the table salt that's bad. And sea salt is much lower in sodium than table salt. So reducing the table salt, getting more exercise, these are things that you can do. You can change your habits, and it's going to have an effect. But starting with the Ganoderma, it's first of all going to begin to repair things. Secondly, it's going to be you'll have it as preventive. And third, it's going to allow you to make those changes. You'll enjoy the healthier foods. You won't crave the junk food. It makes a huge difference. And then you should look at the Ganoderma as a stress management and an attitude additive. Okay, it helps. It's because it's a natural antidepressant. It helps you deal with stress. I've noticed that. I've been through some really stressful times in the last couple of years, and it has a big bearing on a person's attitude and their demeanor. Women
Absolutely.
Particularly comment on it, on how it affects their emotional swings during the month.
Yeah.
It's something
Bob,
that's...
I hate to interrupt you, but we have 60 seconds left.
Well, here's the closing sentence. The idea is not to live longer, but to stay young indefinitely. That's the goal. Not to live longer, but to stay young indefinitely.
Yes.
So thank you, Donna.
You're welcome. And if you're listening and you waited too long, you haven't been preventative, and you've got lots and lots of symptoms, you do need to know that a lot of stuff can be turned around by doing the same things you would do to be preventive. You can do those things now, and you can have radical improvement in your health. So we have 10 seconds. God bless you guys. glad you came. See you next week. Check out DonnaCrow.com if you're not familiar with this product.